Brothers and sisters, let's open up our Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Justin, the light's just a little bit. We're going to be examining verses 32 through 35. 1 Corinthians 7, 32 through 35. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you so much for this blessed Lord's Day, where we have gathered together as your people to hear the word of Christ from the word of God for the nourishment of our souls. And we pray, O God, that even now, as we would yet gather together again, having eaten physical food, that you would now nourish us with the word, that spiritual food unto us, that food to eat that will forever leave us satisfied. That water to drink from the word that will well up unto us eternal life. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would accompany the word with power from on high. Use me, O God, as your instrument in your mighty right hand to feed your needy people. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue into chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, we remember last month the Apostle Paul addressed the congregation concerning that which he called a present distress. Now, he made much of this urgent situation that was occurring to the point of admonishing the congregation to remain in the exact condition in which the Lord had called them, not to make any significant transitions in their life, not even to concern themselves with marriage or with singleness, but rather to stay productive in their current lot in life. Now, commentators have been largely unanimous on what this distress was, especially the older commentators. They basically all agreed and believed that it was a combination of Paul's premonition that Jesus Christ would be returning very soon, possibly even within his own generation, in combination with some kind of food shortage or famine within the city of Corinth. So it would have been a twofold urgency from Paul to the church for them to remain busy and productive in their present condition, because it may have been very taxing or burdensome to pursue marriage and to try to raise a family in the midst of some kind of food famine. And also because the return of Christ certainly was imminent, and therefore it was in every way infinitely more important to remain fixated upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep their hands on the plow, to stay watchful, vigilant, and diligent when it comes to this anticipation of the very return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, any preoccupations were far inferior to these pressing matters. So then we transition into our next verses here, where Paul is continuing the same line of thought. He says, firstly, in verses 32, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. So now Paul continues to discuss the overall frame of mind and the inner disposition of the Corinthians in light of this present distress. But of course, this has application to all Christians at all times, because as we discussed in detail last month, the return of Jesus Christ is very soon. It is imminent. the return of Christ is soon, and therefore living a life of sober, watchful faithfulness is necessary, of course, for every Christian, not just to the Corinthians who were in this present distress. Now, really, if Paul's primary meaning concerning this present distress is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ will be returning soon, all my friends, then how much for us should we stay fixated upon Christ, both hands on the plow, 2,000 years henceforth since this epistle was written? Christ's return was certainly close for Paul, but imagine how much more close now since this epistle has been written. This should amplify our urgency we operate from daily. So Paul says, I want you to be free from anxieties. Now, there is both a positive and a negative concerning the definition of anxiety here in Paul's writings. Paul says that he wishes that Christians would be free from anxiety, but then he immediately goes on to say that the single person is anxious about pleasing the Lord, and the married person is anxious about how to please their spouse. And I believe these are mainly good anxieties. This is in reference to being concerned, being preoccupied, being invested into a situation. This isn't so much anxiety in terms of being burdened or a sense of nervousness or fearfulness. But I do believe that the first instance of anxiety, as Paul defined it in verses 32, is in fact in reference to being burdened by worldly concerns. Paul is saying that he wants the Christian to be carefree. He wants you, Christian, to be so wholly invested into heavenly and divine matters, so consumed by a life consecrated unto good works for God, that you truly are carefree to every worldly situation that may end up causing undue burden upon one's life. Instead, it is far better, far more productive, far more fruitful to be anxious about the things of the Lord. Is that you, my Christian friend? Are you anxious about the things of the Lord, or are you burdened by anxieties concerning this world? Now, I know that being burdened about worldly matters and anxieties really is inevitable to a degree, because I know that life throws some pretty ugly curveballs at us from time to time. But my dear Christian friend, I guarantee that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are a consistent recipient of the Word of God daily, if you are a diligent and active listener to the Word of God on the Lord's Day, if you are one who is watchful and fervent in prayer, and if you are living a life of moral purity before the presence of God, then your mind and your soul will be shaped and fashioned after the likeness of Christ, and you will live a life of peace and tranquility in such a way that the anxieties of this life will not be able to penetrate into that. The anxieties of this life will in fact grow dull, and even your perspective on those areas that may be troubling you in life will be informed and combated by biblical wisdom. You see, when we're full of this worldly anxiety, when we're burdened by the cares of this world, often the sovereignty of God seems small. It seems then as if this life is real big and is just going to last forever, that the circumstances of life can feel very suffocating, and sometimes even our prayers, our prayer life, can seem futile. Really, when we're burdened by worldly anxieties, it flips on its head everything we know about God, about the Christian life, and about our relationship to God in this world. But you see, it is the Christian over any person that exists on this planet who should be most bold, confident, at peace, secure, and encouraged. And Paul is being very instructive to the church in Corinth here when he says, in fact, that he wants them to be free from worldly anxieties, anything that would be a hindrance to the sole purpose of worship and service unto God at the anticipation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go on then. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. Now, in our verses, really, there is no way around the fact that it does seem like the Apostle Paul is placing a premium on the capabilities that one has as a single person in terms of their undivided and unaltered service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is, in fact, I believe, an accurate assessment from the Apostle Paul, so long as we realize that Paul isn't saying that the single person is superior to the married person or the married person superior to the single person. Because as we discussed last month, no one in the whole of Scripture speaks more highly of marriage than the Apostle Paul. However, contextually, in light of the present distress in Corinth, and generally speaking, in terms of one's freedoms and abilities, the single person does have a unique opportunity to serve the Lord in a way that the married person does not. And of course, the married person has unique abilities and opportunities to serve the Lord in a way that a single person can. Both roles are important. Both roles have their unique distinctions in terms of one's commitment to Christ and the church. Paul says the unmarried person is anxious about the things of the Lord. The single person's devotion is not divided. It's set upon heaven. His eyes are gazing upon Christ and no other. He loves Christ as the groom. And as a single person, he or she is put on this earth at this point for the sole and total purpose of rendering service to the church, his own soul, and the good of others for the glory of Jesus Christ. There are major benefits and unique opportunities, my single friend, that will soon pass you by. Now, I know that this is an oft-repeated subject matter, especially throughout the content of chapter 7, but it is a very important reminder to you who are single to realize that this is a very unique, blessed, and wonderful season that you find yourself in. So don't be so wore out and discouraged by your singleness such that it actually handicaps your diligent work and service unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've seen it this way, my friends, and in a very practical sense, I've seen this pan out numerous times, and I digress a bit here. You know, it seems to me that when somebody is so burdened and overwhelmed by their singleness, it's all they can think about, it's all they dwell upon is the fact that they're single. You know, it seems in those seasons that the Lord typically withholds a spouse from them. But what I have seen time and time again is that when someone who is single makes resolution to serve the Lord, to keep their eyes fixed upon Christ and to serve him, even though, of course, they desire to be married, but they have made resolution to say, Lord, I will serve you no matter what. And if you bring me someone, then that is a blessing. But if you withhold them, then that is your prerogative as the king of the universe. You know, it's almost like when you have come to a certain point of maturity, that is your frame of mind. It is then that the Lord offers up one of his sons and daughters. This has been my consistent observation many times before. So Paul goes on then to say, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests then become divided. Now again, there is, of course, a bit of a negative connotation in these verses, but bear in mind, as we've said, Paul loves marriage. Paul encourages marriage. Most Christians end up getting married and are far better for it. So again, we have to have in our minds here that Paul is thinking about the imminent return of Christ. It is the return of Christ that is giving rise to this urgency and severity in Paul's declarations here. But of course, in general terms, these are very wholesome principles that are to be applied to us. Now, the next category of people are those who are married, and they do, in fact, have restrictions on their freedoms and abilities that, again, the single person does not have. The married person is certainly anxious about worldly things, as they should be, and as they need to be. Husband, if you aren't concerned with how to feed your family, how to make provision for your own household, how to provide, protect, and prosper your home, both materially and spiritually, then you are a fool of a husband. But yet, in pursuing the obtaining of the basic necessities of life, this does, in fact, consume your time, obviously. It does force you to invest your efforts into worldly matters in a way that really the single person doesn't have to worry about as much. Nevertheless, this is your obligation as a husband to your wife and children. And you are obeying God by functioning in the ways that God would have you function in as a married person. But this does, in fact, inhibit you and your abilities in a way that it just simply doesn't inhibit or hinder the single person. And now we go on then with a slight variation to what has previously been discussed. One was to the single person and their undivided service unto the Lord, and then we just talked about a husband serving his wife. Now we discuss the role and activities of both single women and married women, because Paul does include this into these categories here in chapter 7. He says this, "And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband." Now, of course, the unmarried woman will likewise be concerned about matters pertaining to godliness. Likewise, just like the unmarried man, her whole focus will be that of service and devotion to God. She will be desirous to pursue that which promotes holiness of life and reverence for God. And Paul says in our text here, in both body and spirit, that is, with the fruit of self-control with her body, and with commitment and diligence to the means of grace for the sake of her spirit. She will strive to be unstained from this world's wicked persuasions, and will strive and seek to be a holy and devout woman. Yet the married woman will have certain anxieties in a way that the unmarried woman does not have. The married woman will be concerned about housekeeping, rearing children in the fear of the Lord, properly submitting to her husband's authority, basically conducting herself in every sphere of proper biblical category in fulfilling her role as a godly wife and mother. So my friends, as we see in this text and in the whole of chapter 7, certainly there are varied paths of life that the Lord has us in, varied positions one is to fulfill. And as a Christian, according to God's sovereign providence, God determines the singleness of a man, when he will get married, and what works he has prepared for that person to do, whether they're married or single. And really the application of all of this is that at all times, no matter what, no matter where God has you, you are obligated to serve God based upon the current lot and condition you find yourself in life. And I know this is a resounding theme from chapter 7, but again, it is a healthy reminder for us that not only is it an obligation for us to continue to serve the Lord and to work for Him in whatever condition we are in, but Paul says this in closing, verses 39, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and your secure, undivided devotion to the Lord. So in other words, wherever you are, however long you have been there, there is divine purpose for you as a Christian in every condition in life. No matter how long you've been there, or maybe you've just entered into a new era of life, or even if you find the present condition you are in to be very mundane and boring, or you lack contentment in an area. You remember, Paul went so far as to say that even those who are unequally yoked in marriage, whatever the circumstances you're in, from the easiest to the hardest, they are in fact predetermined by God Himself, and there is always work to be done in that category. And God will never hinder a man from serving Him, even in the most unfavorable conditions. There is always kingdom work to be done, no matter what condition, the most favorable or unfavorable conditions. And sometimes, as we well know, being in positions or conditions in life that are unfavorable are the times in which we are most useful for the kingdom of God. So wherever you are presently in this life, it is in fact the very means, the very condition in which God has placed you in to glorify Him. So may we continue then to be stewards of the varied and diverse conditions and situations we are in, whether that's a house mom, husband, father, son, employer, employee, all to the end that God would be glorified, His church would be built up, and His people would be most satisfied in Him. Amen.